National testing continues to show that in schools across the country, low-income and minority students are far behind in literacy. So some districts, instead of testing more and more, are doing more creative things to get kids caught up in reading and writing. Stella Chavez at KERA starts us off in Dallas, where the phrase, always speak in complete sentences, is on the minds of the youngest students.
Walk into any classroom at Kramer Elementary School in Dallas and you'll probably hear something like this. Raise your hand if you have a sentence for me, teacher Jorge Ruiz tells his pre-K native Spanish speakers. He holds up a photo of a bear and calls on four-year-old Jimena Martinez. Jimena says the bear is brown. Ruiz says these 4 and 5 year olds were shy and didn't always know enough vocabulary to form complete sentences at the beginning of the school year. That's why Ruiz teaches them 6 new words in Spanish a day.
Last week we were talking about the weather, and for them they used to know only rain, but now they understand to use, oh, it was a tormenta, storm, a very heavy storm. And there was not only rain, but hail falling, and you know, for me it's very exciting.
The Dallas School District decided to make this a priority for pre-K through second graders in the fall. So far, about a couple dozen schools have taken it on. Posters promoting full sentences hang in the hallways. There's an image of a hand, and beside each finger, a word, reading, always speak in complete sentences, to remind students.
We've known for quite some time in education that there's an incredibly strong link between oral language development and future reading abilities.
That's Alan Cohen. He's the brains behind this effort in Dallas and the district's former assistant superintendent for early childhood education, a subject he's researched for a long time.
If a teacher says, "What color is this?" and holds up a red pen, and a child just says, "Red." They've heard one word. If the child says, "The color of that pen is red," that's hundreds, if not thousands, of more words each day of an entire year. And you multiply that year after year after year.
He says this is all part of a larger effort to improve education for younger children in the district. Research shows that if kids aren't reading on grade level by the third grade, they're 4 times more likely to drop out of school. These preschoolers now seem confident constructing 3, 4, even 8-word sentences. I talked to a few of the students so they can show or tell me their sentence-making skills.
Yo cuando acabo de hacer mi tarea, yo ya juego con mis muñecas.
We put the bottle inside the recycling box, and then you put it in the dumpster.
Las naranjas son muy ricas.
That's Monica Gonzalez, Isaac Olivares, and Jimena Martinez talking about homework and dolls, recycling, and delicious oranges. So that's the story in Dallas. Next, to Baltimore, where Jonna McCone at WYPR tells us about one special book helping kids feel comfortable reading.
Jane Jacobs. Jane Jacobs was a writer and thinker about cities.
This is Miss Tuttle's third grade classroom at Lake Montebello Elementary in Northeast Baltimore. Tanasia Hilton reads from a book written just for kids in Baltimore City.
Jane did not learn about cities from books or schools. Instead, she learned about cities by watching people use them in everyday life.
Students sit in groups of clustered tables, each with My Baltimore book, that's what it's called, on their desks. It's about the size of a short novel. Author Becky Slogaris wrote My Baltimore book. Her goal was to give students a reading resource that connected to their everyday lives.
All right, so let's take 15 seconds of thinking time.
She also raised the money to give the book to every third grader in the school district, including the kids in Ms. Tuttle's class.
Why do you think having a diverse neighborhood or a diverse community, why do you think that's a positive? And if you don't, maybe you think it's a negative, or maybe you're not quite sure. So we're going to just be talking.
The students learn the meaning of the words urban and suburban. They learn how Baltimore's population tumbled starting in the 1960s with white flight and the loss of industrial jobs, all in the context of the Baltimore of today.
It's positive because it has black people and white people.
It's positive because there's nothing, and it's always good, and it's a good neighborhood.
In Baltimore, just 1 out of 10 fourth graders is reading proficiently. That's why the district wants to use curriculum that students, like Darian Edmond and his friend Anthony, are excited about.
My neighborhood is segregated because
It's black on the other side, and another block is white. And me and Anthony mostly play with black people.
The students have their books open to a page with white and black circles mixed together, symbolizing diversity. Below that, an image of black dots on one side and white dots on the other, representing segregation. She hopes the reading gives them the tools to better understand the concept.
I don't want them to only be able to identify a definition. I want them to use it in a conversation. And they do.
Ms. Tuttle says features in the book, like the space for students to develop their own ideas, have helped them use new words, not only during class discussions, but in their writing. And someone who knows that reading and writing are inseparable is professor and author Dee Watkins.
Growing up in East Baltimore and then working with children in Baltimore City, I've learned that a lot of times we don't see ourselves represented in books.
This year, hundreds of high schoolers in the city are reading his collection of essays, The B-Side, about Baltimore's drug trade and the city's poorest communities. It's the kind of book, Watkins says, he didn't have exposure to growing up.
I read maybe like under 10 books until I turned like 25. I didn't understand that reading was as important as water. I didn't get it.
Watkins and other writers are making a point to spend more time in city schools to better connect learning inside school to students' lives outside the classroom.
That means a blue pile and a blue ball.
Makai Thomas, one of Ms. Tuttle's former third graders, now a fourth grader, stops by her class. He has his dog-eared copy of My Baltimore book with his name in big letters on the cover.
Every now and then, I go and finish some pages that I didn't do.
He flips to a page with one of Baltimore's blue light security cameras, ubiquitous in the city's high-crime neighborhoods.
Each blue light costs $30,000 to install. What would you do to improve your neighborhood if you had $30,000? I would spend it on redoing houses like that are condemned, stuff like that.
Ms. Tuttle hopes the My Baltimore book reminds her students that their education continues past the four walls of school. And next to New York, where Beth Fertig of WNYC visits a school where every word matters.
Berante Conde and Eleazar Rodriguez are struggling over a question in their science class.
What is the difference between voluntary? Yeah, voluntary and involuntary.
These sixth graders are confused about their meaning, so they ask a teacher.
Okay, so voluntary is when you have to do something, you have to think about it and make a decision to do it.
The kids get it right away. Teachers and staff are hoping to make this happen more often. More than 90% of the students here are at least a year behind in reading. The school has determined vocabulary as the stumbling block for almost everyone.
There are words like predict, justify, evaluate, compare.
MS-22 hired literacy consultant Kimberly Tyson to encourage teachers here to think about vocabulary differently.
Teachers often don't directly teach vocabulary. They may give a cursory reference to it, but that's not directly teaching vocabulary to get to the level of students being able to use it when they speak and write.
And that's important, she says, because a lot of research out there points to vocabulary as the number one indicator of reading comprehension. It's in middle school that vocabulary gets more complex. Seventh graders in New York may be reading Pygmalion, the play by George Bernard Shaw, or the history of the Revolutionary War. And we're not just talking about English class. Jamie Pulaski and Natalie Sanchez say it's hard to broaden their students' vocabularies in their math classes.
You need the vocabulary in order to do the math.
Tyson told the teachers that kids need at least six exposures to a new word before it sinks in. Writing definitions in their own words can also help.
Keep going, though. You only have one box filled in.
Science teacher Shavonda DeRocher is trying that new tip. Her seventh graders are filling in a circle with four different ways of describing the word objective. Juan Roland says the exercise helped.
I thought that an objective means like it means an object.
And now?
It means a fact.
Objectively speaking, MS-22 has a long way to go in improving literacy. But little by little, teachers hope they'll make a difference if adults and students are more conscious about their choice of words. For NPR News, I'm Beth Fertig in New York.